Our sermon text for this morning is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 5th chapter, beginning with the 4th verse. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. And we pray. These are your words, dear Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Please be seated. Here at Bethany, I'm always amazed by the wide variety of talents to be found among you, the students. How did you get to be so good at whatever you're into? How did you get to be so good at music or choir? How did you get to be so good at reading or doing math? How did you get to be so good at sports? A lot of those things, you think, well, yeah, I guess you get good at reading by reading. You get good at math by doing math. You get good at doing a sport by playing that sport. You get good at music by playing that instrument, by singing a lot. It's experience, isn't it? You get good at something by experience. Isn't that pretty much how everything works, right? Well, what about with our lesson today? How do you get good at fishing? Isn't this lesson kind of flip that whole viewpoint of experience around? Our knee-jerk reaction is you want to get good at something, do it. Have experience. Jesus kind of kicks experience to the curb. The guy who we presume wasn't experienced in fishing tells the fisherman, "Hey, let me do your job for you. Let me tell you how to fish." And we see that when it comes to Jesus and when it comes to God's word, experience doesn't count for much. It doesn't matter. Experience doesn't get you far. Jesus shows with this great catch of fish, his word is truth, and experience just can't quite cut it when compared to God's word. And we learn with Peter. Yeah, his experience said, "Yeah, we were fishing a bunch all night and didn't catch anything." Experience should have said, "Throwing the net down one more time isn't going to help." But Simon thought, "Well, I'll put this net down because you say so." And so our lesson helps to teach us to ditch experience in spiritual matters, no matter how good it is in learning many things here at Bethany, for example. Ditch experience when it comes to spiritual matters, and have a "because you say so, Lord" attitude like Simon shows us here. And going by experience in spiritual things, it really does put us at odds with God's word a lot. Experience tells us to do plenty of things that God's word says, "No, don't do that." Experience maybe tells us, maybe bend the truth a little bit, lie a little bit to get out of trouble. You'll be better off. Everyone will be better off. Experience tells us it doesn't hurt to say an occasional, "Oh my God, come on." Experience says, "You know, yeah, I told this person off, but they had it coming. They need to have some tough love, no matter if their feelings are hurt." And experience also affects how we handle our own sins. If we keep on in a sin, no matter how little we might think it is, we think, well, I guess I've done this sin a bit, but nothing much has happened. Is it really that bad? Or we view the world around us and think, well, plenty other people are doing this. Is it really so bad? Plenty of others believe this or that. Come on, can't I too? Is it really that bad? And so experience can really put us at odds rapidly with God's word. There is, however, one little thing experience does teach us in the spiritual realm. As not overly pleasant thought, it's a bit of a downer. The one thing you can count on with experience is death. The sum total of human existence and experience does teach us death, doesn't it? And Scripture bears that out in the classic passage, the wages of sin is death. And so that's about what experience is good for. So yeah, even though it can be good in many of the things we learn, like music and art and so forth, when it comes to spiritual matters, we should realize, like here in our lesson, yeah, experience doesn't count for much, and it can even go against God. The experience of Simon Peter with seeing Jesus' glory and power led him to think, well, you got to get away from me. I'm a sinner. There's no way I can stand with you. I'm not worthy. That's pretty reasonable from human experience. And that's when we can take real joy that Jesus doesn't go with human experience. He sticks with Peter and actually tells him, hey, I have some stuff for you to do. I have some work. He is with Peter, Simon Peter. He sticks around. He doesn't ditch him. And that's a wonderful comfort for us, too, that Jesus ditches those ideas of human experience and comes to us and helps us and saves us. He ditches ideas of human experience for our benefit. As he lived on this earth a perfect and flawless life, he didn't go by the way of the world's experience, but instead lived flawlessly to cancel out and cover up for those times that you and I have had a little too much experience in sin. He could have kept us away from him forever and perfectly and righteously held the ultimate grudge against us, and he would have been right in doing that, but instead he took all the wrath, all the sin, and all the punishment that we would have had coming to us, and he took it in his body on the cross, paid for all of our sins so that instead we could have forgiveness and we could be right with him, right alongside of him, like Peter and Jesus here, though by human experience and human standards, we wouldn't have been worthy of it. And then he undoes the one truth of human experience, too, that death couldn't even hold him. He rose again victoriously, truly rose so that, yeah, though death is real and it's there, he's defeated it and now uses it as a way to bring us home to heaven. And with all of his work, he's rewritten, so to speak, the experiences of our life. Our experiences in sin have been rewritten with forgiveness. The human experience of death has been rewritten with life and resurrection. Hell has been rewritten from our history books into heaven. And us being lost has been rewritten into us being found and made his own dear children, as he comes to us in the Word and baptism, and as he keeps coming to us in the Word and Lord's Supper. In the end of our lesson, though, we see Jesus include Peter in some important work and invites him and says, you're going to be fishers of men, of people, of souls, of human souls. That was actually the work that Simon Peter wasn't experienced in. He says, you don't need experience for this work, apparently. You're going to be fishers of men from now on. And that's something that's sometimes important for us to hear, that in bringing the message of the gospel to people, that, it's not so much about us or us always having the perfect words to say or thinking that we need some perfect opportunity. He takes inexperienced Simon Peter and says, hey, you can do this. It's the Holy Spirit is the one that's doing the work. He comes in the Word. He comes in the sacrament. He makes faith happen. He makes forgiveness of sins happen through that faith. And if you think about it, you know, this great catch of fish is no less miraculous than the great catching of human souls that God accomplishes, because it's totally not our work. It's totally God's work, 100% of the way. Doesn't it seem just as miraculous when we realize our own lost condition to have faith worked in our hearts? The reality, though, is it is very difficult and tough to share the gospel. I remember when I was younger, and especially at Bethany, at seminary here, and as a young pastor, and I had plenty of pastors in the synod that I admired, and I thought to myself, won't it be great when I learn more and can have all the perfect answers to things just like they have? So when I talk to someone, I have just the right thing to say like they always seem to have. I realize something. I still don't have the perfect answers for everything. And there's no perfect opportunities for evangelism or bringing the word. It's a big old mess. You can't wait around for perfect opportunities and perfect words to say. You know, it's tough, it's awkward, it's stressful. There's never going to be a time where this feels like a great opportunity or this person seems really like they want to randomly be into God's word, even though previously they're not. And you just can't count on the perfect words to say. You know, I can't bank on myself being ready to go with the exact right thing. So we got to take a page out of Peter's playbook here. How do we go about fishing for people and human souls? It's kind of like how he went fishing here. He's like, well, we haven't caught anything all night. I got this net here. You say throw this net, I'll throw this net because you say so. And so it is with the gospel. We can't think, well, we need perfect conditions and wait for things to get just right and have perfect words. No, it doesn't work that way. In my life as pastor, too, it was just, well, this is a tough, awkward situation. No, this didn't feel like it went very well. I guess I'll just throw this net out there. I'll say some stuff. I'll talk about law and gospel. I'll just get going and see what happens. And, you know, sometimes the results were very encouraging. Sometimes the results were very discouraging. But I realized in the end it wasn't about me, that there was such a mess of variables and conditions and how people responded and what people were like. It absolutely was not me having the perfect words that was going to be the difference maker. It was just, you just got to trust God to work through his word how and when he wants to, and because he says so. And so we take a good page out of St. Peter's playbook and say, well, here's a net. Let me throw it over. And because you say so, see how it goes. Trust God to work how he wants. Because, yeah, the conditions, the perfect words are never just right. So experience, yeah, it's great. If you're talking about math or theater or art or basket weaving, or even playing Xbox. Experience, when it comes to spiritual matters, though, does not get the job done. And so we listen to and have an attitude like Simon Peter that says, because you say so, looking at Jesus and his word. We believe, we live our lives as Christians, we find comfort and hope, not because of the human experience around us, but just because God says so in his word. And his word is better by far than experience, because it offers forgiveness over sins, it offers comfort over despair, it offers us life eternal even over death. Amen. Please rise for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, grant that we do not turn to our own wisdom and experience, but instead to you and your word for truth. We thank you that through Christ we are forgiven of sins, rescued from death, and comforted with eternal life in heaven. Grant that we cast out the net of your gospel to those around us, that they find comfort and hope in the same glorious message that we do now and eternally. We also pray for those affected by the hurricane. We ask that you be with them and help them in their time of need. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We continue with our next hymn.